A Colossians Thanksgiving. Excerpts from the homily series on the Letter to the Colossians by St. John Chrysostom. From Homily 8, Chapter 3, Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful, he says. For this is what he everywhere especially seeks, the chiefest of good things. Give we thanks, then, in all things, whatever may have happened, for this is thankfulness. For to do so in prosperity, indeed, is no great thing, for the nature of the circumstances of itself impels one thereto. But when being in extremities we give thanks, then it is admirable. For when, in circumstances under which others blaspheme and exclaim discontentedly, we give thanks, see how great philosophy is here. First you have rejoiced God. Next you have shamed the devil. Thirdly, you have even made that which has happened to be nothing. For all at once, you both give thanks, and God cuts short the pain, and the devil departs. For if you have exclaimed discontentedly, the devil, as having succeeded to his wish, stands close by you, and God, as being blasphemed, leaves you, and your calamity is heightened. But if you have given thanks, the devil, as gaining nothing, departs, and God, as being honored, requites you with greater honor. And it is not possible that a man who gives thanks for his misfortunes should be sensible of them, for his soul rejoices as doing what is right. Immediately his conscience is bright, it exults in its own commendation, and that soul which is bright cannot possibly be sad of countenance. But in the other case, along with the misfortune, conscience also assails him with her lash, while in this other she crowns and proclaims him. Nothing is holier than the tongue which in misfortune gives thanks to God. Truly, in no respect does it fall short of that of martyrs. Both are crowned alike. Ellipsis. For over this one also stands the executioner to force it to deny God by blasphemy. The devil stands over that one, torturing it with executioner thoughts, darkening it with despondencies. If, then, one bear his griefs and give thanks, he has gained a crown of martyrdom. For instance, is her little child sick, and does she give God thanks? This is a crown to her. What torture so bad that despondency is not worse? And still it does not force her to vent forth a bitter word. Her child dies. Again she is given thanks. She has become the daughter of Abraham. For if she sacrificed not her child with her own hand, yet, ellipsis, she felt no indignation when the gift was taken away. Ellipsis. When you have suffered any calamity, think on what is worse than it, and you will have a sufficient consolation. And consider with yourself. What if your child had died in battle? What if in fire? And whatever our sufferings may be, let us think upon things still more fearful, and we shall have comfort sufficient. And let us ever look around us on those who have undergone more terrible things, And if we ourselves have ever suffered heavier calamities, so does Paul also exhort us, as when he says, "You have not yet resisted to the point of blood, striving against sin." And again, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear." Be then our sufferings what they may, let us look round on what is worse, for we shall find such. And thus we shall be thankful. And above all, let us give thanks for all things continuously, for so both these things will be eased, and we shall live to the glory of God and obtain the promised good things, whereunto may all we attain through the grace and love toward man of our Lord Jesus Christ. From Homily 9, Chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Having exhorted them to be thankful, Paul shows also the way, that of which I have lately discoursed to you. And what does he say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ellipsis. That is, the teaching, the doctrines, the exhortation, wherein he says that the present life is nothing, nor yet its good things. If we know this, we shall yield to no hardships whatever. Let it dwell in you, Paul says, richly. Not simply dwell, but with great abundance. Listen, as many of you as are worldly and have the charge of wife and children, how to you too he commits especially the reading of the Scriptures, and that not to be done lightly nor in any old sort of way, but with much earnestness. For as the rich in money can bear fines and damages, so he that is rich in the doctrines of philosophy will bear not only poverty, but all calamities also, easily. Yes, more easily than a rich man. And whatever you do, he says, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For if we do so, there will be nothing polluted, nothing unclean, wherever Christ is called on. If you eat, if you drink, if you marry, if you travel, do all in the name of God, that is, calling him to aid you. In everything, first praying to him, so take hold of your business. Ellipsis. Do you eat? Give thanks to God, both before and afterwards. Do you sleep? Give thanks to God, both before and afterwards. Do you launch into the forum? Do the same. Nothing worldly, nothing of this life. Do all in the name of the Lord, and all shall be prospered to you. Wherever the name is placed, there all things are auspicious. If the name casts out devils, if it drives away diseases, how much more does it render business easy? Ellipsis. Invoke the Son, give thanks to the Father. For when the Son is invoked, the Father is invoked, and when he is thanked, the Son has been thanked. Ellipsis. From Homily 10, Chapter 4, Verse 2. Continue in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. For since continuing in prayers frequently makes persons listless, therefore he says, watching, that is, sober, not wandering. For the devil knows, he knows how great a good prayer is. Therefore he presses heavily. And Paul also knows how careless many are when they pray. Wherefore he says, continue in prayer, as of somewhat laborious, watching therein with thanksgiving. For let this, he says, be your work, to give thanks in your prayers, both for the seen and the unseen, and for his benefits to the willing and the unwilling, and for the kingdom, and for hell, and for tribulation, and for refreshment. For so it is the custom of the saints to pray, and to give thanks for the common benefits of all. I know a certain holy man who prays thus. He used to say nothing before these words but this: we give you thanks for all your benefits bestowed upon us, the unworthy, from the first day to the present, for what we know and what we do not know, for the seen, for the unseen, for those in deed, for those in word, those with our wills, those against our wills, for all that have been bestowed upon the unworthy, even us, for tribulations, for refreshments, for hell, for punishment, for the kingdom of heaven. We beseech you to keep our souls holy, having a pure conscience, an end worthy of your loving kindness. You that loved us so as to give your only begotten for us, grant us to become worthy of your love. Give us wisdom in your word and in your fear. Only begotten Christ, inspire the strength that is from you. You that gave the only begotten for us, and has sent your Holy Spirit for the remission of our sins, if in anything we have willfully or unwillingly or transgressed, pardon and impute it not to us. Remember all that call upon your name in truth. Remember all that wish us well, or to the contrary, for we are all men. Then, having added the prayer of the faithful, he ended there, having made that prayer as a certain crowning part and a binding together for all. For many benefits does God bestow upon us, even against our wills. Many also, yes, more, without our knowledge even. For when we pray for one thing, and he does to us the reverse, it is plain that he does us good, even when we know it not. From Homily 12, Ellipsis. Decking out your house with what is in it, invite your neighbors and friends and kindred. As many as you know to be of a good character, invite those, and bid them be content with what there is. Ellipsis. Before all the rest, invite Christ. Do you know how you will invite him? Whoever, says he, has done it to one of these least, has done it to me. And don't think it an annoying thing to invite the poor for Christ's sake. Ellipsis. For to invite the poor is a means of wealth. Ellipsis. The dinners and suppers, let them not be full of drunkenness, but of abundance and pleasure. End of A Colossian Thanksgiving, excerpts from St. John Chrysostom's homily series on the letter to the Colossians.